Let's turn together to the Word of God this morning. It's the book of Proverbs, and it's chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter 3, and we'll read the first 20 verses of the chapter. The book of Proverbs really is a gold mine of spiritual truth. So many gems and jewels and nuggets of truth, so many promises, and so many principles and precepts for us. And the book of Proverbs is a book that we ought to come to again and again and again. Wisdom for living we find in this wonderful book. It's chapter 3, and we're reading from verse number 1. Proverbs 3 and verse number 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favour and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honour the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honour. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. We'll just end there at verse number 20 of this wonderful portion of God's precious word. And we do trust and pray that in a very real sense the Lord will add his own blessing to it in our hearts and lives in these days. Proverbs 3, and our text today is in verse number 9. The Word of God says and exhorts us, honour the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Last year we were doing a series on basics for believers. And during the Christmas season, we took a little break from that, owing to different meetings and services in our church. Some people were asking, is the series over? Maybe with anticipation, hoping that it was. I'm not sure what your motive was for asking, some of you, but the answer is no. We've still a little way to go in our series in Basics for Believers. And we have another important subject to consider this morning. And let's unite our hearts together as we ask God for his help and for his blessing and speaking voice. Pray that God will give us hearts to receive and to respond to whatever the word of the living God would say to us today. Let's pray. Father, we thank thee and praise thee for the privilege of receiving so many blessings from the hand of our God. Lord God, we confess today that we have not received the things that we do deserve. And we thank thee, Lord, that at thy hand we have received many things that we have not deserved. We thank thee for the mercy and the grace of our God. We thank thee for the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and that addeth no sorrow. And we pray that thou wilt help us now as we consider thy word. We acknowledge, Lord, our great need for God's help in the preaching and also in the hearing of the word of the Lord. We pray for spirit-anointed preaching and spirit-anointed hearing. And we pray that your name will be exalted and glorified. We pray that the Holy Ghost will help us to understand and to respond to thy truth. So, Lord, I give myself to thee again, and I pray that body, soul, and spirit, thou wilt sanctify me, cleanse me, and fill me. And, Lord, may we know an abiding sense of God's presence with us. In the Saviour's name we ask. Amen. Now, we're coming in our series in Basics for Believers. We've considered already many subjects: the Scriptures, the Saviour, our service, the Sabbath, the sanctuary, and many other subjects, the sacraments, and so on and so forth. But we're coming today to consider a subject that, if we're absolutely honest, is not a very popular subject. We're considering this morning the believer and their substance. Verse 9 of Proverbs chapter 3 exhorts us, honor the Lord with thy substance. And I trust and pray this morning that the message that the Lord has laid upon my heart will be received in the spirit in which it is intended. We're thinking today about Christian giving, and especially honoring the Lord and giving to the Lord out of our substance, and returning unto the Lord that which is duly his, and also giving sacrificially to the Lord. How to honor God in our giving. The believer and their substance. If we're honest today, this is one of the last things that we often desire to consider. That perhaps God has a plan for us, not only spiritually and emotionally and physically and in so many aspects of our lives concerning our work and our family and our church and what the Lord would have us to do, but the Word of God has so much to say about God's plan for our substance and for our finance. And often whenever we think about this, we think about sacrifice, and we think about having to give and give of ourselves and giving to the Lord and to his work, and we almost feel that somehow it's an affliction that God has given us, that we have to honor the Lord with our substance. But the Word of God here promises, as it does so many times in Scripture, great blessing for those who honor the Lord with their substance and honor the Lord as he has honored them. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And then there's a wonderful promise annexed to the commandment: so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out new wine. Malachi chapter number 3 and verse number 10. And indeed, this verse was quoted by a brother in our prayer meeting, and he was praying along the lines of this very message, and that encouraged me. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And then 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 6 exhorts us and encourages us, he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now we need to acknowledge first of all that all the wealth that the believer has and all the substance that we possess is from the Lord. Everything that we have and everything that we possess as far as our substance and our finances concerned It all comes from the Lord. We were singing in that psalm a little bit earlier that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God's servant James says, every good and perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is neither variableness, neither shadow of turning. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse number 7, who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst not receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? And then the little book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 5 and verse number 19, it says, every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, and verse number 18, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. And so we need to acknowledge that it is the Lord that has given us not just all of the riches of the earth and the harvest of the earth, but it is also the Lord that has given us the gifts and the talent and the power and the ability. All the wealth in the world belongs to the Lord. The Word of God says that every beast of the forest is mine, and also the cattle on 1,000 hills. And all of the gold and all of the silver and all of the iron and all of the oil and all of the water and all of the harvest of the earth is there because it's God's, and God has given it to us. And God has also given us the ability to glean the wealth and to harvest the earth. And so we need to acknowledge, before we acknowledge any other thing, that anything that we have that is good comes from the Lord. And so there's a very real sense in which we give God absolutely nothing. We only receive of the Lord concerning our substance. But in the substance that the Lord honors us with, and that which the Lord gives us, we ought to honor the Lord respectively. So that's our subject for today, the believer and their substance. Let's consider just a few simple things today about giving unto the Lord. First of all, let me say something about the mandate or the commandment or instruction for our giving. Many times in Scripture, God asks us to honor Him with our substance and to honor Him with our finance. That's what our text says. Honor the Lord with thy substance. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 16 and verse number 17. It says there, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. And again, 1 Corinthians and chapter number 16. And verse number 2, we read these words, upon the first day of the week, the Lord's day, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, virtually the whole chapter deals with honoring the Lord with our substance. Verse number 7 of that chapter says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. And we're taught in the Word of God in 1 Corinthians 10:31 that in all things, whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, we are to do it all to the glory of the Lord. And that includes, of course, our substance. Now, whenever a believer, or even a non-believer for that matter, a non-Christian, honors the Lord with our substance and gives unto the Lord of that which the Lord has blessed us with, it is an acknowledgement of God's goodness. It's an acknowledgement of God's grace in our lives in so many avenues and areas. That the Lord has blessed us with food and with clothing and with shelter and with warmth and with an abundance of good things. And it is but fitting that we return unto the Lord the glory due his name in that respect. And it's also an acknowledgement of God's goodness to us in sending us a Savior. You see, the giving of God to his people is limitless. If we could only count our blessings and name them one by one, it would startle us and surprise us what the Lord has done. The Lord has given us life. The Lord has given us creation. The Lord has granted us many, many temporal blessings. He's blessed us with family. He's blessed us with a measure of wealth. He's blessed us with a measure of health and prosperity. He's given us countless promises in his word. And most of all, he's given us himself. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Apostle Paul never lost sight of this, and he forsook everything, his business, his religion, his comforts, his home, his family, to surrender his life fully to the Lord. And he says that he does this because of the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. It was the great England international cricketer C.T. Studd, born into a very wealthy background, with all the world at his feet, a very wealthy man, a professional cricketer, idolized by many, many people, who surrendered it all and said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice could ever be too great for me to make for him. You see, giving essentially to the Lord is an outflow of love. Whenever we love somebody, we give. Whenever a man is going out with a young woman, or a young woman's going out with a man, they'll give so much to the one to the other. They'll give time and money and affection and love and all of those different things. So it is whenever a couple get married, they take their vows to give themselves the one to the other and to share in all of the blessings that they receive as individuals. Whenever children are brought into the world and we nurse those children and we love those children, we give to those children, and we pour our lives and so much of our substance into their lives as well. For this reason, John said in 1 John 3 and verse number 17, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? And so what John is saying here is that if we see that there's a need, especially concerning a brother or sister in the Lord, and we literally shut up our bowels of compassion and we refuse to give, he says, how does that display the love of God in the life of a professing believer? So the Word of God gives a mandate for giving. Give as the Lord has given unto us. Then there's another aspect of giving, and that's the manner of our giving. How should a Christian give? What is the spirit in which a Christian, or a non-Christian for that matter, should honor the Lord with their substance? Well, a few very simple thoughts. We ought to give according to our ability. That's a theme that comes up again and again within the Scriptures. We read it a little bit earlier. As the Lord hath prospered us, we're to give. But in Acts chapter 11, verse 29, it says, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. So there's the idea there of proportionate giving. According to a person's ability. Some people have the ability to give much, maybe of their labors, of their time, of their talents. God has blessed them abundantly in those areas, and they've the ability to give much. So it is with others, and God has blessed them more maybe financially than somebody else. And here we're being told that every person might give a differing amount, but it's according to our ability to give. And we see this exemplified in that lovely chapter, Mark chapter 12, at the end of the chapter, whenever the Lord was in the place of worship with his disciples, and people were coming in and they were offering on to the Lord, and there came in this widow woman, and all she had were two mites, just about a farthing. And as that woman gave, the Lord took note of it, and physically speaking, she gave less than everybody else gave. But there was a sense in which the Lord loved it more, because he says, this woman hath given more. Because she has given everything that she had. She has given so sacrificially, and she didn't have the ability to give as some other people had ability to give, But she gave much more in the sense that she didn't have a lot to give, but what she had, she gave it to the Lord. So we have to give according to our ability, and we have to give, the scripture says, in keeping with our income. First Corinthians chapter 6, we've mentioned the verse already, verse 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings till he come. Is our giving a reflection of how the Lord has blessed us? We ought to give regularly and systematically upon the first day of the week. The Word of God makes it very clear for us, let every one of you lay by him in store. So we don't give in fits and starts. We don't give God the leftovers or give now and again, but upon the first day of the week, laying aside that proportion and that portion for the Lord. It's a little bit like a story I heard once about a cow and a pig. And the pig was looking at the cow, and he said to the cow, it wasn't a true story, of course, just an allegory. And the pig said to the cow, you know, you don't give as much as I give. You give your milk morning and evening. But I, one day, will give everything. And I'll be taken off to the bacon factory. And everything I have will be divided amongst the butchers. And the cow says, well, that might be true. But the fact of the matter is, you only give after you die. I give every single day of my substance. And the application that was given was that sometimes we store up for ourselves treasures on earth and we'll say, well, I'll give to the Lord after I'm gone and I don't need it anymore. Then I'll give it to the Lord. But we ought to be like the cow and give to the Lord of her time, of her talents, and of her tithes continually, systematically, and regularly. We ought to give lovingly. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the great chapter of love. It says there in verse number 3 of the chapter, and though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love or charity, Paul says, it profiteth me nothing. So we can give to the Lord out of necessity, and we can give to the Lord grudgingly, and almost, yes, we're giving, but we're still in our hearts and minds, we're really holding on. Paul says the great manner in which we're to give is with love. As the woman came to the Lord who had been saved from a life of adultery and all sorts of things, and the Lord came and she took her alabaster box full of spikenard ointment. And one of the Gospels tells us would indicate that it cost her about 1 year's wages to purchase that box. And whenever the Lord came, she took her alabaster box and she broke it and she anointed her Savior and she sat at his feet and she wept. And of course, even the disciple says, Lord, to what purpose was this waste? And the Lord says, let her alone. She hath done what she could. She hath come to anoint my body aforehand for the burial. Because that ointment was used to anoint dead bodies, and it may be that she had taken that ointment that was to be used for her own burial, a year's wages, and in a moment of time she anointed the Lord with it. And the Savior turned around and he gave the application and says, he that is forgiven much loveth much. And the reason that she's doing this is she realizes just what she's been saved from, how her life has been changed, her soul has been saved, her sins have been forgiven, and she's showing her appreciation. She loves me so much because she realizes in her life just how much God has forgiven her. And she's giving lovingly. We ought to give as well cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 9:7, the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. And the original Greek word for cheerful there, it literally means a hilarious giver. Somebody that gives with a big smile upon their face and knows the joy of giving. Some of us have experienced this whenever it comes to our loved ones. Maybe a child or a son or a daughter, and there's something they need and something they want and long for. And whenever we give it to them, we see the joy that it gives to them, and that gives us joy in our own hearts. And if only we could see how much joy and gladness and happiness it gives to the heart of our God whenever we give to him, it would bless us as well. We ought to give willingly. as it says in 2 Corinthians 9:7 as well. Not grudgingly or off necessity, and we ought as well to give thankfully. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. 2 Corinthians 9:15 ends with. So if we've got thankful hearts, that will be seen in our giving. Then there's the motive of forgiving. And this is something that ought always to challenge us in every aspect of our lives as Christians. Whenever we pray, whenever we witness, whenever we labor, whenever we come to church or join the church or teach Sunday school or preach or testify, whatever we do, the challenge always is, well, what's my motive? Why am I doing this? Is it for self? Is it for the good of others? And those two things have their place, of course. But first and foremost, is my motive solely for the honor and glory of God? The motive in our giving ought to be a response to the generosity and goodness and grace of God in our own lives. We ought not to give to be seen of men. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord says, when thou doest thine alms, that is to say, whenever you take a certain portion and you give it and you distribute it amongst the poor and needy, the Lord says, don't do it to be seen of men. He says, don't even let your right hand know what your left hand's doing, but do it as unto the Lord, not to be seen of men. He says, if you're doing it to be seen of men, you have your reward. And the same goes for prayer as well. Oftentimes the Pharisees did so many things, but their motive was primarily just to be seen of other people. So people would look on and say, well, look how much that person has done, or look how much that person is given. Matthew 23, verse 5, concerning the Pharisees, the Lord says, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. And the reason they do everything that they do, it's not the right motive, it's to be seen of men. W.P. Nicholson was once approached during a gospel mission by a woman at the end of the meeting, and she says, Mr. Nicholson, my husband comes to your meetings. And he sings and he gets involved, but you know something? He beats me in the house. He abuses me and all of this. And he says, well, I'll sort that out. He says, will he be at the meeting tomorrow night? She says, well, probably. He says, well, if he is, you sit somewhere in the meeting, and if he's with you, you give me the nod and I'll fix it. And so Nicholson the next night was in the meeting and he's seen the woman in the meeting. And just before the offering was to be received, he looked down and she gave him the nod. So he knew that the man sitting beside her was her husband. And so before the offering was lifted, he says, now it has come to my attention that there's a man in our meeting tonight and he's beating his wife. He's nothing but a rascal and a coward. And if that man does not put a 5-shilling note tonight in the offering plate, I'm going to announce his name at the end of the meeting. And would you believe it, whenever the offering was lifted, there were loads of 5-shilling notes in the offering plate. And of course, they were all giving out of the wrong motive. They weren't giving because they loved the Lord. They were giving because they were afraid of being found out. And so our motive sometimes needs to be checked. We must not give as well in order to get. Matthew 10:8, freely ye have received, freely give. Everything that God gives us is free. I will love them freely. And so the Lord says in a similar fashion, you're to give, not expecting to get anything in return. The Word of God tells us that we will receive blessing, but that's not the motive in giving. The motive is always love. There's almost a sense now in Christian circles that you have to somehow get some sort of souvenir if we're going to give to the Lord, a bun or a burger or a cup of coffee or a hat or a t-shirt or some jewelry or something. And you have to get something back. If we're going to give, I want to get a wee token just to show that I've given something and so that I feel that I'm receiving something in return. Even in the whole charismatic movement, we've men standing TV evangelists, and they'll stand up at the end of their broadcast, and I heard one of them, and he says, we've got these pens and we've anointed them, we've prayed over them, and we're going to send our listeners a pen. And if you take this very pen and you write a check with this pen, because we've prayed over them, if you write us a check for $100, you'll receive a tenfold increase. And that was the motive for giving. You give in order to get. But that's not the right motive at all. We give because giving honors the Lord. Whether it's financial or some other aspect of our lives, we give not looking for remuneration or for recognition. We give because we love Him. Then a controversial issue, the measure of our giving. How much are we to give? Well, there's a sense in which I don't think a limit should ever be put on it. But the principle of the tithe is something that is very clear within Scripture. Before the law was ever given in Mount Sinai, it seems to me that the tithe was instituted. We think of Cain and Abel, and they brought forth the firstlings of his flock. And Cain brought forth the fruit of the ground. Now, that wasn't what God asked for, but they still recognized in coming to the Lord, well, God has blessed me with the fruit of the ground, therefore I'm going to set a portion aside, and Abel with his flock, I'm going to give God the firstlings, the first fruits, the best of my flock. And then later on we have Abraham, and he received a great victory under the Lord, and he went to a certain priest, Melchizedek, who according to the book of Hebrews was a type of Christ. He was the king of Salem, and Salem means peace, and he was also a priest. And he was without descent, without father and without mother. And in all that we see the Lord Jesus Christ. And Abram brought tithes unto Melchizedek. And then tithing was made law in the book of Leviticus and chapter number 27, verse number 30. It says, the tithe is holy unto the Lord. It is the Lord's, and the tithe is the tenth, verse 32, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. So what the Old Testament saints understood was this, that whenever I honor the Lord with my substance, and I give the Lord the tithe of the tenth, essentially I'm not giving the Lord anything, because that is His anyway. And in the book of Malachi, the children of Israel, God challenged them. He says, you've robbed me. And they says, we haven't robbed the Lord. Where have we robbed thee? And the Lord says, in withholding tithes and offerings. And He says, if you bring the tithes and offerings into the storehouse, He says, I will bless you for it. Now in Christ's day, in Matthew 23, in verse 23, the scribes and Pharisees were boasting about tithing and about giving. And the Lord said to them, these ought ye to have done. And not to have left the other undone, ye have neglected the weightier matters of the law, mercy and grace and judgment and those sorts of things. But whenever they spoke about the tithe, the Lord says, these ought ye to have done, and not to have left the other undone. So He did not come and abolish the principle. And then, of course, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 2, as God has prospered you. So the New Testament holds to giving of the first fruits of our labors unto the Lord. And the Old Testament saint realized that we honor the Lord with our tithe because God has honored us. But even the Christian has even more benefits and blessings than the Old Testament saint. The world takes much more than a tenth. Tax man takes more than a tenth. We spend probably a lot more than a tenth on non-essentials. You think about your giving unto the Lord. Multiply it by 10 and ask yourself the question, could I live in that? If I took what I gave to the Lord and multiplied it by 10, would I be able to survive in that? Is that a reflection of how the Lord has blessed me? And incidentally, people in God's work, whether it's an evangelist or a pastor, people in God's work should be doing the same. And I remember years ago, whenever I started full-time employment, saying, well, I'm going to honor the Lord and I'm going to seek to give the Lord the tithe. And once I began to do that, I have to say that I never missed it. And God honored again and again and again. So a friend of mine once said to me, I couldn't afford to tithe to the Lord. And I remember thinking at the same time, no, I couldn't afford not to. Because if God has blessed me in so many ways and everything that I have, I've received of the Lord, to withhold that which is rightfully His, I don't know if I could afford to do that. And then lastly, there's the multiplication of our giving. God promises to multiply blessing upon those who honor Him in this area. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty. The principle holds good. Them that honor me, God says, I will honor. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Now, those are God's promises. And the challenge for us is, well, do we believe God enough to put into practice these principles and to say, well, you know, I'm going to prove the Lord in this. I'm going to bring the tithe into the storehouse and I'm going to see if God blesses me. Or do we hold back and think, well, I'll trust God with my soul, but I'll not trust him with my life. I believe the promise of God to get me to heaven, but all of these other promises, I'm just not sure if I really believe them. Whenever an individual gives to the Lord, God promises to multiply grace unto the giver. 2 Corinthians 9 again, verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for the Lord loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, listen, always, having all sufficiency, and in all things may abound unto every good work. And so the promise is that if we honor the Lord in this area, God says always, and in all things, having all sufficiency, God will make you abound in every good work. And of course, God is thanked and glorified by the grateful recipient. And God is pleased with giving. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. Hebrews 13:16 says, with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Malachi 3:10, God says, I will open the windows of heaven, pour you out such a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Old John Bunyan wrote a little poem. He says, there was a man, some called him mad, for the more he gave, the more he had. The believer and their substance. The Word of God has much to say about this very area, bringing our tithes and our offerings into the storehouse, into the house of the Lord. And friends, it's a basic principle once again. Faith without works is dead. As I said at the start, I trust that this will be received in the spirit in which it's intended. I'm not getting at anybody. I'm not saying that you're not giving enough. I'm not saying this for my ends. But it's a basic principle to honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. And the Lord is glorified, honored, and pleased, and blesses those who give. We'll sing our closing hymn. It's number 368, please. 368. For all the Lord hath done for me, I never will cease to praise him. And for his grace so rich and free, I never will cease to praise him. And then the chorus, I never will cease to praise him, my Savior, I never will cease to praise him. He's done so much for me. Just the first three verses, please. Verse 1, 2, and 3, standing together as we sing 368.